right, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Don't forget to sign up for that poker tournament. Week from Wednesday, week from last night. We'll all be down at the Commerce Casino, and you will kick yourself in the ass if you're home with the kids and the wife or the girlfriend or your boyfriend. Or I don't know what you got going on. But whatever you're doing, if you're not at the Commerce Casino, you will regret that. So go to the website. It's very easy to do. Costs you nothing to sign up. Costs you nothing to play if you get selected, and you get free food. So really, it's a great deal. Plus, they're giving out $6,000 worth of prizes, and who couldn't use a couple of bucks in this economy? So 971fmtalk.com, 971fmtalk.com, and sign your asses up. Let's go. All right. But sign up for it. The more people we get down there, I mean, we're going to have at least, 400 people down there, and we'll probably have, 2,000 entries. But the more people we get down there who really want to play, the better the tournament is. And it's always one of the great remotes we do each and every couple months. I think we did three or four last year. Did we do three last year or four last year? Three?
Three.
Three last year. Wow. And we'll probably surely do more this year. Sign up and get down there. 971fmtalk.com. All right, folks. It is completely open phones. Anything you'd like to talk about, perhaps you'd like to chime in on the Seattle Post Intelligencer. And they're putting that up for sale. That's the Hearst Corporation. Put Seattle's oldest newspaper, the Seattle PI, they call it up there, on sale Friday. And they said if they can't find a buyer in the next 60 days, the paper will likely close. They will close the paper down. The paper's been around for 88 years, since 1921. That paper's been around. It's been losing money since the year 2000. 8 straight years of losses. Last year it lost $14 million. So it is a newspaper. I think they'll all be going away. And it's just one of the first ones to drop out. I think the Denver's Rocky Mountain News or Rocky Mountain Paper is also another one that might be going out of business. So if you'd like to chime in on that or anything you'd like to talk about, 520-9710. That's 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. And nobody opens those phones, man, like Brian David Whitman, man.
All right, man. Here we go, gang. It is Friday night, man. And I tell you, man, I'd like to wrap up that effing week, man. You know what we do, man. We take those phones, man. Whitman takes them by one hand. I take them by the other, man. We stretch out those phones, man. Totally open phones, man. 520-9710, gang. Maybe you have a 888 Jones and a lot of dudes on that valley, man. A goddamn 888 Jones, man. I said it, man. It's 888, 520-9710. Anything you want to talk about? Anything we talked about? Anything we talked a little bit about? I should have talked more about? Come on, man. Jump online, you mother effers, man.
All right, please. Jesus Christ. All right, hey, if you did miss any part of this here show this week, Randy Wang works overtime on Thursdays to put together a montage of the entire week's worth of programming. So let's play it. Here we go. Folks, you got to buy a phone every once in a while. Cell phones don't last for 13 years. And if you don't buy a cell phone, maybe every 18 months, you get a bit... Okay? So get yourself a new phone.
Everyone from the Middle East listens to you and they love you.
Is that right?
And anybody associated with you... I can't tell you how many times I walked down Ventura and just some random guys, Assalamu alaikum, babu. I said, excuse me? Assalamu alaikum, babu. And they love you, man.
I occasionally nowadays, it only happens like once a month, where you call somebody and it's busy and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Talk about righteous indignation.
I called them back in 1978. Busy?
Also, by the way, the phone worked every time you used it. It didn't drop out in the middle or anything. It was kooky. It was real kooky.
You didn't lose somebody around the canyon?
What about dudes banging around other dudes?
No, not at all.
That doesn't happen.
No, that doesn't happen at all.
That's against the rule?
I think it's one of those unwritten rules. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. That's discriminatory, man.
I know, huh?
Yeah. What'd you say in my ear, Randy? You don't want to go now?
Well, I mean, Jesus Christ, how about some equality? If chicks can be with other chicks, guys can't be with other guys? This is not fair.
Randy, you're on
the
air.
That's why I stopped going.
Okay. And let's say you went to a business, and the guy's got your car up on the rack, and then he's blatantly discriminating against another customer. Would you say, hey, pull my car down, I'm out of here? Or you just say, well, it's your business.
I think that's where you have to be Tim Luther King.
How long will this continue? No longer will we allow our brothers and sisters to be mistreated while our cars are being lifted and our mufflers are being replaced.
Whatever. Can I tell one great Arsenio Hall story?
Yes.
We're talking, it's a live two-way with Arsenio. And he's like, you know, can Sharon Tate hear me? You know, and I'm like, yeah, she can hear you, Arsenio. How are you doing? It's like, she is so effing fine. And you know that, and you know that MF on Channel 11 just gets on my last nerve. And I'm like, Arsenio,
that sounds about right.
It's like, and this is on the air?
On the air, all live. You go, dog.
But, like, you know, I get drunk, I go by Richard Nixon mask just to, you know, try it, and that's the solution. And then every time I go to a party, she has to wear the Richard Nixon mask for me to get all crazy. I'm like, hey, we're at a wedding. Why is your wife dressed up as Richard Nixon? It's a long story. Please. I mean, please, for God's sakes. I mean, if we want to have any fun later, she's got to wear the Richard Nixon mask, okay? Just leave her the F alone. You should try it yourself. Your wife over there, she'd be really into it if you put that Richard Nixon mask on. It's the longest.
What did you say? Tim, I thought this
it wasn't long.
You know what? This pettiness of yours is so 2008. Really, I thought we moved on.
No, but it wasn't long ass snooze.
It was the long ass snooze, Tim.
It wasn't.
Okay?
I'm just saying it's a long ass snooze. That's what it is.
I'm
get out of here. I'm just saying it's a long ass snooze.
Jesus
Christ. I was at San Andreas with my dad a couple years ago, and I went into the bathroom, and there was a guy throwing up in the stall. Man, he goes, oh, Jesus Christ. He goes, give me a 50 on the five horse.
Yeah.
So I go back to my dad. I go, hey, this guy throwing up in the stall, but he gave his buddy a tip. He goes, who do you like?
Yeah.
I said, well, that's the guy you're going to take the tip from? You know, but you take a tip from anybody.
By the way, chef at the Lobster, where the pier...
The one that sits right up on top there.
Right, the chef ran out of the kitchen and said, tell Tim hello.
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting how that's replaced. Tell Eddie hello. So you and the brother from Zamunda can kiss my ass. Can somebody say hello to me?
All right, folks, totally open phones. You're listening to Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 FM Talk. Let's talk to Christian in Los Angeles. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
All right, what's up with you?
Well, I just wanted to comment on what you guys are saying about the L.A. Times. And I think it's kind of sad that, I mean, such a big city, such a big paper, they don't give you news. They give you propaganda, you know?
Yeah, they've been accused of that before. They've been accused of, pandering to the far left. I'm not even talking about Democrats. I'm talking about the far left wing of the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it goes extreme, and it's sad because, I mean, I went to school. I started as a journalism major, and I switched halfway just because, I mean, it's just so liberal. It's so, like, there's no middle ground. I mean, I'm not extreme right by any means, but... You know, give me give me news, give me a logical solution to problems. Don't give me, you know, what your left hippie ideology is, you know?
Well, you remember when Governor or Arnold Schwarzenegger was running for governor, they took two or three reporters and tried to destroy him
when
he was running for governor. And the same in the same time, Gray Davis was trying to keep his job, and they put no reporters on him.
God damn it! Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, I remember around the time of the recall it couldn't be more obvious what they were trying to do. But
do you think that they are not they're underestimating the intelligence of the readers?
I think because you realize when you write for a newspaper, you're probably writing for like a fifth, sixth, maybe seventh grade level, you know, a reader.
Right.
So I think they dumb it down so much that they forget about quality. And unfortunately, because in our city, you do have so many people from other countries who are just learning the language.
Right.
And it's an easy target for them, you know? I mean,
well, for instance, this is what they did. I saw it here at the station. Somebody gets the paper here, and I saw it in the kitchen. And I looked at the calendar section. You know, they have the movies and TV reviews and stuff. And on the front page of the calendar section, they were talking about, there was an article about a documentary that was done on the history of India, right? And I'm thinking, well, okay, maybe some people in Los Angeles are interested in that. So I'm flipping through the calendar section, and there's a very small article on, like, page 11 in the lower right-hand corner that you would barely see. It's smaller than most of the ads. And it says the Grateful Dead are getting back together and touring again.
Are you serious?
I'm like, well, why not put that on the cover of calendar and take the history of India and put that on page 11? I mean, if I was running the paper, that's what I would do.
Yeah, and I mean, you would think you go with logic, with
yes.
thinking, but it doesn't seem to click, and it's scary because, I mean, for instance, my mom, my dad, you know, they came from Mexico, so.
Right.
They know the language now. If they read the Times, they're going to believe everything they see there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of scary, you know, so.
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll straighten them out.
Well, I'm always on them.
You second and third generation guys from Mexico are straightening out the parents.
I'm actually first generation.
The first generation? Look at
yeah.
you. How old are you?
27.
27. How long have you been in the United States?
I was born here.
Oh, you're born here. Oh, well, that makes you first generation.
Born and raised. Like I said, I went to school, and it's just, I'm happy because I got a chance to go to school.
Right.
So, you know, I'm able to see things.
What do you do for a living?
Since I'm applying to law school right now, I'm kind of in between jobs. So.
All right. Well, if I'm ever on death row, man, I'll call you.
Hey, I'll be glad to help him out.
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling.
You guys have a good night.
All right. Take care. You too. There he goes, man. All right, 520-9710, 888-520-9710. Let's talk to Hector here for a second. Hector, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
What's going on, Timmy?
Hey, now listen, it says here you're listening on hold. You just wanted to listen to the show. Is it that you've had your radio repoed or you don't have a computer access? Why are you just listening on the air?
Little bit of both, Timmy. no internet access.
Right.
And, radio is a tuned radio, so I don't have a digital signal out here in Riverside.
Oh, I see.
So I didn't know it was a big deal. I was listening on hold. I guess it is.
It's not a big deal. I just wondered why what you were lacking. Like when I see a guy watching TV,
right?
And when he's watching, like I've seen a guy in a bar occasionally, and he's
right.
watching reruns of, let's say Fantasy Island,
right?
Or Gilligan's Island.
Right.
He's watching Gilligan's Island, and he's drinking beer. I'm thinking to himself, well, what doesn't he have at home? Does he not have the beer?
Does he not have beer?
The air conditioning or the TV set? You know, why is he watching Gilligan's Island at a bar?
Right. You know? Makes sense.
Yeah. All right, we'll put you back on hold, dude.
Do me a favor, don't hang up on me. I want to keep listening.
Okay, hold on. There he goes. He's just going to sit there on his phone and chew up message units and listen to the show. What a fan. Big fan. Let's talk to Dr. John here in Orange County. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Pretty good.
All right, man. What kind of doctor are you?
We won't go into that right now. But I got a question.
Yes,
does anybody remember Jim Murray?
Oh, yeah, the sports writer.
Yeah, we've been treated by the L.A. Times for years as some fine writers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He's one of them.
Now then, you can carry, the stats for every basketball game played last week under your arm. And you get a chance to sit down with a cup of coffee, you can pop that open and read it.
Right.
You're talking about some guy has a real estate show on your radio?
Yes, sir.
Well, what time did he do that?
5 to 8 tomorrow night on KFWB, and then 10 to noon on KLSX on Sunday.
Wow, I'm working around the yard, and going to be the Lakers game. Maybe if I had
Flip
ad.
It on.
If I had ad. In the Times, it told me that this guy was doing that.
Ah.
You know,
well, how old are you?
Steer me that. I'm 65 going at 17 Celsius.
Yeah. Well,
now, I started out my first job I had.
I know. Dr. J, it's...
delivering the LA Mirror.
Right. Dr. John, It's over for the LA Times. I know you don't like to think it is, but it's over.
No, I could care less, Warren. No, I read the paper, regularly. I go to the internet for news. I buy and sell stuff on the internet.
You're not in surgery tomorrow, are you?
Pardon?
You're not performing surgery tomorrow, are you?
No, I did that today earlier.
All right. And you had a few afterwards?
No, I really don't drink. I'm a pulmonologist. Really keep myself together.
Good for you. What is a pulmonologist?
Out of places with smoke.
What does a pulmonologist do?
We make sure you can breathe.
Ah.
A little easier, I might add, in your case.
All right, man.
Now, this thing with Zelle, the reason he's going bankrupt is because he made so many bad investments.
Yeah, well, and right now, the
auto manufacturers are starting to back out their advertising on sports.
Right.
So he's trying to work a deal with the Toyota Motor Company to rename Wrigley Field the Toyota Field of Chicago.
Right.
Because he can get Toyota, but Toyota doesn't want to do it because they're starting to lose money in the U.S. now.
Yeah. No, it's a bad vibe out there.
But he's trying to sell the naming rights to that place.
Yeah. All right, buddy. We thank you for calling. We got to move on. Love to talk to you all night about the history of the Chicago Cubs. But, Zelle bought a lot of newspapers, bought a lot of television stations. I think he owns KTLA, and I think KTLA is doing fine. And KTLA may be one of the reasons why the L.A. Times can lose money, because I think KTLA is making money. But it is over for newspapers. You may not think it is. You may not like to hear that. But all the signs are there. Don't blame the messenger, man. I'm just telling you what's happening. Steve in Corona Del Mar, you're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Good, Timmy. How are you?
All right, man.
Hey, can you hear me okay? I'm on
yes.
headset.
Can you hear us? Okay? Pass. Tim in Sherman Oaks, you're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Timmy, what's up?
Hey, dude.
Finally get to talk to you on air. I just want to call and say what's up. I applied online for the poke tournament. I want to see if I could get a seat there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, with you guys, yeah.
Did you sign up online?
I did.
Yeah, that's about all we can do for you. Do we get our asses chewed out here if we give out seats for some reason. We used to be able to do that, and then they changed the rules on us.
So is it just like a lottery then?
Yeah, it's like a lottery. But without, let me put you on hold, and Gina will take your name. I'm not going to guarantee anything. I'm just going to say she's going to take your name, and if you show up at the Commerce Casino, maybe you get in.
God damn.
But I'm not guaranteeing you anything. So maybe you drive to the casino, you don't get in, you're pissed, and you try and throw a drink on me.
No, it's cool. It'll still be fun hanging out with you guys.
Oh, yeah. Come on down, man.
Love the station. Can you play your daughter saying Frank Kramer here for me?
Yeah. Frank Kramer here.
Thanks, Timmy. Have a good night, brother.
All right, hold on 1 second. Hey, grab that guy's name there, will you, Gina? Seems like a decent guy. Hate to turn guys down. I wish I could give tickets out all night to that poker tournament, but they flipped changed the rules on us around here. Let's talk to Rob in Rancho Cucamonga. You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing, Tim?
All right, how you, man?
I'm all right. Pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate the fact that you put your 2 cents in on our fallen Americans. My nephew was killed in Fallujah.
Is that right?
Yeah, 24 years old. I had to fly my family back to Minnesota to bury him.
Oh,
I don't want to bring the whole showdown, but we buried his right hand. It was a flat uniform, and my mother and my sister, her only son, went crazy. And I don't blame them.
Wait a minute.
And
when you say you buried his right hand?
Yeah, it was a flat uniform with medals and stuff on it. No head, just cloth.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And then they just the hand.
Oh, boy.
So doing that, I mean, the military was there the whole time, and it was they made it a really, I don't know, quite a spectacle. The archbishop for the five-state area was there,
right.
The governor was there, the mayor was there, and all that. But the fact of the matter is that when you spoke about it earlier, you said that you made it, like, real, like, you know, a family.
This is why, Rob, and again, I hate to bring you down here, because you're probably doing everything you can to, stay positive. But when I was a kid, my dad worked late hours when he was working. He had six kids, a wife, a housekeeper. He had 9 breakfasts, lunch, and dinners to buy every day. And that was just, you know, the start of it. And so he had to work long and hard, and he would sometimes not come home until, you know, 10, 11 o'clock at night. And I was always, as a child, I could never go to sleep unless I knew my dad was home. And I remember being, you know, 7 or 8 years old and, you know, staying up and thinking the worst. Like, oh, he got in a car accident. He said he's going home by 9. It's already 9:30. Where is he? It's starting to rain outside. Maybe his car slid out.
Or it could have been a comedic accident, which would have been worse.
Right. But
stuck on a doorknob.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he could have had his nuts hit a doorknob, and all of a sudden he's at Cedars. But I always worried about him every night. And then as soon as he got home, it was a big sense of relief, right? So I can't imagine you take that and grow it exponentially. And these kids who are 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, you know, 13, 30, I don't know how old you are, but especially kids who are very impressionable, 6 through about 12 to 15, and they go to sleep every night, and they stare at that ceiling, and they wonder if their dad is okay, you know?
Yep, and they pray, and sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. And I just really appreciated your rant, because you hit the nail on the head. And sometimes you're controversial, even about things like maybe of that nature. And you certainly weren't this time, and that's why I had to call.
Yeah, well,
'cause your attitude was fantastic, and I started listening long ago, and I don't call very often. Well, I mean, no need to. I laugh my ass off anyway.
If you want to see something great and see a lot of tears of joy, go to YouTube and type in Iraq surprise homecoming, and you'll see about 15 to 25 videos of these guys showing up at school and surprising their kids.
I actually did one myself.
Oh, you did?
I am sorry to say that I sell cars. I have been for 25 years, right, running dealerships and whatnot, but the industry's, I mean, it sucks right now. But I was dealing with a lieutenant in the Marine Corps for weeks. And I held a 2007 Jeep for him for 3 weeks until he got back from Iraq. When he got back from Iraq, he had no idea he was going to make the transaction with me. His wife had already done it. So
oh, wow.
When he got off the bus, you could cut the emotion with a butter knife in the air. I mean, not just his family, but all the families. As the men came off the bus, it was just surreal. I mean, and I've never been to a military base in my life. It was just fantastic, and his new Jeep was waiting for him, and he was just ecstatic, and there was a big thing in the newspaper, and it was cool. But the fact of the matter was, it was quite a kick in the pants for me, because, number one, I've never been to a military base. Number two, I never saw a homecoming like that.
Right.
And number three, it was silent.
Well, you know, when you're watching TV and you see CNN, and they report that, you know, 3 guys in Iraq were killed today, you know, you turn the volume up a little louder, and you want to hear, you know, what the circumstances were around that, right? And then you go on with your day. Well, if you have a father over there, not only do you turn the volume up, but you start sweating and shaking and wanting to, you know, call him.
It's amazing you would say that.
It's
because
true.
I said that to my friends and coworkers, that it was all numbers and TV to me. That's what it was. I imagine Vietnam was like that too. But until JJ lost his life, and we buried a hand, and I watched my family crumble, then it became real, real to me. And
And that happens a lot. And you know, and these military families are so great. You know, the majority, if I would say almost without exception, these people never complain, never ask for handouts. You know, sometimes it's 4 or 5 generations who've been in the military. They've had to do this for 4 to 5 generations. And while they never get used to it, they do, you know, regroup and move on and do handle it a little better than, you know, than I could or, you know, people have never been in the military.
Well, actually, every male in my family, and I'm a second youngest of 8, and that doesn't even count my uncles and whatnot, they all served in the military, and they all did like 2 stints. I didn't. I was a pothead. I didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, anyway,
yeah, my dad was in the military. My grandfather was. And, you know, so this is like the first generation of kids that are, you know, not in the military. But I can't tell you how much respect I have. When I see, you know, guys walking through the airport in that uniform, And, you know, they just either got back from Iraq or they're going to Iraq. You know, you want to just shake their hand and, you know, and say, you know, God bless you, man.
Well, I'm not going to take up much more of your time, but I will say this. I'm an internet manager, and so I've been dealing with guys from Afghanistan. I guess that's the hot spot now. Guys on the front line in Afghanistan saying that we're living like dogs, and but they want to buy these cars when they get back. And so that's something right. that keeps them, like, in a positive mode or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Chances are by the time they get back, that Honda's going to be gone, but I'll buy them another one. No big deal.
And you know what's really weird is we have guys, like when we do this poker tournament next Thursday, we'll have maybe a couple of guys will come up and say, hey, you know, I was in Iraq. And they don't complain about anything. And I asked one guy last time we did this tournament, a guy came up and said, I was fighting in Iraq and I might be going back. And I said, aren't you scared to death about going back? Or, you know, you're going to either, you know, try to get out of it or somebody he goes, I can't wait to get back there. You know, there are some people who, you know.
I had a friend that went to Vietnam like four times, and that was two times too much. He came back alive, but he wanted to. He loved the combat. Whereas my nephew was emailing, the day before he died, he emailed my daughter, Sarah. He said that he sees insurgents handing things from one car to another, and he's told to stand down. And report. Stand down, report. They have to ask for permission to shoot. Check that out.
Jesus.
Check
Christ.
That out. They have to ask for permission to shoot. If they're shot upon, they have to ask for permission to shoot back.
God,
you believe that?
It's the worst thing. And, you know, whoever put that rule or that, you know, code or whatever into effect should be hung.
Well, actually, what I called about was the Patriots. 20 below zero temperatures in Minnesota when we were burying JJ, there were 200 people that came from motorcycles and whatever, and they stood out there with American flags just to detract anybody that might want to spoil the funeral.
Yeah, but you know, back in the 30s and 40s, as we talked about, those people would have been killed.
Yes, they would have. They would have been tied to a car and
nobody drag would have arrested them.
Had their heads busted.
All right, Rob, I'm sorry that happened to you, buddy.
One more thing.
Yes.
I really appreciated the Carolla interview tonight.
Oh, he's great.
I love your daughter talking about Kramer.
Kramer's here.
Gina's fantastic. Arsenio's fantastic. But I have to hear Sophie say, oh, Bobby.
Oh, see if we can get that for you.
Could you?
All right, buddy. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
All right. God bless that family of yours, man.
Yeah,
oh, that is the worst. Let's take a break here and then come back with more of your phone calls. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Everybody, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Breaking story here, then we'll get back to open phones. Baltimore Mayor Sheila A. Dixon has been charged today with 12 counts of felony theft, perjury, and fraud. She's the mayor, of Baltimore, the mayor of Baltimore. And what she did, she's been accused of, listen to this, I don't know how you get lower than this. She was accused of using as much as $3,400 in gift cards, some donated to her office for distribution to needy families. And she used them to purchase Best Buy electronics and other items for herself and her staff.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So they donated gift cards to the mayor's office saying, you know, let's buy the needy something for the holidays. And she's being accused of using those for herself and her staff. Don't get lower than that. Don't get much lower than that. Pretty low out there. Let's talk to Tony in Huntington Beach. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hey.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Let me turn this thing off. They should stick a hot poker somewhere in that woman. Anyway, on that gambling thing yesterday you were talking about?
Oh, at the racetrack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought it was gambling, but...
Oh, I see,
when,
right.
One time in Vegas... My mother had lost at bingo. She's a big bingo player from the Showboat there.
Right.
And she comes walking out, and she's all, I'm all mad because she lost like 10 bucks. And she goes, all I got is 50 cents. And she goes, what should I do? And I go, well, shove in that machine. Are you sure? Sure. I go, it's 50 cents, man. She won $8,000 on that.
Jesus Christ. Is that right?
Yeah. It was sick. You know, and I'm looking at it like, you are the biggest crazy woman in the world.
Oh, God.
But yeah. She's good like that.
I was in Laughlin about 15 years ago, and I hear a guy yelling at his wife, and he's yelling at the top of his lungs, you effing C word, you mother effing C, you C, you F, and he was, so I walked over there to see, you know, if she was in trouble, and I walked around the other bank of the slot machines, and security was already there. And security was not holding him back, but standing between him and her, and she was still sitting at the slot machine. And what she had done is she had won the jackpot, but she only had one quarter in there. If she had four quarters in there, she would have won the brand new Corvette plus $100,000 in cash. And she only had one quarter in there, and she got $420. $420 instead of $100,000 in a brand new Corvette.
Jesus Christ.
And at that point, you know what? At that point, I wanted to jump on his side and start yelling at her, too.
I got to ask you something. You said something about your the sex thing between you and her.
Right.
Okay. You know about...
Go ahead.
Well, there's these three guys, and they're discussing what to give their wives for Valentine's. And they're all Bizons, and the one guy goes, I gave her a pot, so if she doesn't like it, she can put flowers in it. Well, that's a good idea. Another guy, the next guy goes, well, I got my wife a vase, just in case she don't like it, she can put make it a drinking fountain or some drink out of it. And the last guy goes, oh, I got something better than both you guys. And they go, what's that? He goes, I bought her a dildo. I goes, what? Yeah, she don't like it. She go F herself. So what I'm saying is...
Hey. All right, dude. I know what you're saying. Thanks for calling. All right, let's talk to... how about Robert in Riverside? You're on 97.1 FM Talk.
Hey, Timmy. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, my brother?
Hey, I heard about that two-beer policy thing.
Yeah, isn't that ridiculous in Iraq for the military?
Well, you know, I spent 2 years in Germany and had to go through the same thing when we go to field. We only have two beers, but we found a way to get around it.
Yeah, there's got to be a way to get around it.
Well, what you do is you take your squad, everybody goes down. There's about anywhere from 7 to 12 of you, and everybody buys one round.
Right.
So by the end of the night, after everybody's bought their two beers, it's one round apiece.
Right.
There's no rule against buying rounds.
Oh, I see.
There's rules against you buying, you know, two beers. So everybody just sit together. You know, you have almost an entire platoon together buying rounds for each other. By the end of the night, everybody's plastered.
Well, I hope the young guys took a page out of your book.
Oh, I'm sure they will, because there's a lot of old timers still left.
Yeah. when were you over there? Were you over there in the first Iraq War?
Yeah. Yep, sure was.
91?
I jumped into Panama, and then after we got done in Panama, I went ahead and transferred over to Germany and was there for that. So,
oh, man. Saw a lot of action.
A little.
Yeah. All right, Babu, thanks for your service, man.
Thank you. Thank you best. For supporting him.
All right, there he goes. All right, thanks, Robert. Sounds like he's driving a truck out there in Riverside. All right, folks, anything you'd like to talk about here, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Let's talk to Jimmy in Orange County. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Good, Tim. Hey. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, thanks for calling.
Yeah, I was talking. I was listening to your show, and the people were talking about, you know, going to war and stuff. I want to talk about this perspective that war come to you. You know, war came to us. We didn't go to war. War came to us. And if I'm being down, cut me off anytime. I mean,
where were you when war came to you?
I was about 8,000 miles from here. I was born in 63, probably the same year you were born.
What country?
In Vietnam.
Vietnam.
Yeah, and, you know.
Yeah, so war came to you.
I'm not talking about 9/11, you know, one event thing.
Oh, I know.
Or, you know, Pearl Harbor, one thing. It was like systematic bombing, invasion.
Right.
Coercion. And
how'd you get out, or when'd you get out?
Atrocity and all that. We got out. One of my uncle fought on the American side.
Right.
My other uncle fought on the side that fought against the American. We got out in 75 with his family, and up to this day.
Now, back when Vietnam was really hot. Did all of the Vietnamese have to choose one side or the other?
What do you think? Do you have any choice? I mean,
nobody could be neutral, right?
No. If you're neutral, then you are on the side of the communist.
Right.
There's no such thing as neutral. If you're neutral, there's no such thing as being neutral like the Swiss. If you're neutral, you are said to be on the side of the communist.
Right.
Yeah. So, my uncle who fought against the American, I got in touch with him lately. He asked me one simple question that I couldn't answer. You know, he asked me, how many bombs, how many bullets, how many lives did Vietnam kill in America? Zero, right? And then he asked me, how many lives, how many bombs, how many bullets did America, you know, shot on Vietnam. It's countless.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
I mean, so I don't know, man. The people who go to war like us, like now, I think of myself as an American. You know,
right?
Yeah, we go to war. All that.
Well, yeah. You know, when I was talking to these guys about the war, I certainly. You know, wasn't saying that, obviously, you know, we weren't under a tremendous amount of threat. We went to war in Iraq. And I'm not even talking about debating the whole thing politically or, you know, globally. I'm just talking about specifically about the 7 to 15-year-old kid who's staring at the ceiling at night wondering if his dad is coming home.
Yeah, I was 7.
And
back
so
then.
But you were in the midst of it. You probably had.
I was underground in the bunker.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine you had lots of family members.
I mean, my dad was like, you know, I mean, I was fearing for my own life. I wasn't even thinking about my dad, my brother, my mom, or whatever. I was underground trying to stay alive.
Man.
That is the perspective I want to bring from a 7-year-old.
Now, when did you ever get any help for it? I mean, psychologically, or did you just try to tough it out and deal with it yourself?
No, you just live, man. You just try to live. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just like us, now we try to pay the bills and all this, sending our kids to school and, you know, this right. and that. And same thing back then. It's just, but saying us, I don't know, man.
Have you been back?
Once.
How long ago?
It was back in 93. It was 15 years ago, over 15 years ago.
And obviously you still speak language?
Yeah, I still speak it.
And what'd you think? Has it changed a lot? Obviously
yeah.
Didn't recognize most of it, huh?
Yeah, I came back then, and lately I came to a realization, like, what happened? I mean, over 3 million Vietnamese dead.
Yeah.
About 60,000 American died. About, I don't know, 100,000, 150,000 American maimed. How many Vietnamese got maimed due to weapons? They're still dying over there today due to landmines and Agent Orange. But what happened now? But the U.S. and the Vietnam, they're like buddies, you know. So what did other people die for? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Nothing. All right, Jimmy, we thank you for calling, buddy.
All right, Tim.
You take care of yourself, man.
Thanks.
Glad you're in this country, dude.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right,
thanks.
Take care. Yeah. All right, there he goes. Man, that's got to be tough, too. You know, he said at the top of that call, he didn't go to war. War came to him. And, you know, just 7 years old, living underground, trying to survive, makes everybody, all your other problems seem a little insignificant, you know? All right, folks, 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. Let's talk to Robert, Marina Del Rey. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
Hi, it's me, my boy.
Hey, how are you?
Okay. Hey, listen, regarding that story in Laughlin with the fella going crazy about his wife not putting in the maximum coins to get the jackpot.
Right.
I understand from a friend of mine, I was in the casino business as well, but I understand that if he did or she did put in the maximum number of coins, it necessarily wouldn't be the same flip of the wheels. That the
but us gamblers don't like to think that it's that evil, you know?
That is so true. That's so true.
But I have noticed that when I lower my bet on slots, that does pay off more often.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's just like in poker, somebody gets up and the next hand that was dealt, they hit the jackpot, you know,
right.
The ace full thing.
Right.
Well, they don't realize that, hey, a few seconds here and there might have juxtapositioned the deck a little, but we don't want to hear that. I know what you mean.
But I know, but when you're playing cards and you're playing blackjack, especially if they have like a decent shoe, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6 decks,
right.
and you get up out of your seat and you leave, you can absolutely determine which two cards would have been yours.
Oh, true. That case, right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it is the first one on your left and the second one on your left for the top card.
Right. But if you got up and then stumbled a bit and then the dealer, you know, hesitated and shuffled an extra time.
Right.
You know,
I know. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just talking about the very first hand after you leave. That's the one you got to walk away and not look at.
Exactly.
Especially in three card poker. In three card poker, it's the worst because you absolutely can understand your next hand. It's the guy sitting on your left.
Right.
Yeah.
And your story about how David, the owner of Commerce, came over to you.
Oh, yeah. he almost threw my ass out of there. And you know what? I'm sorry, we're losing you there, Robert, but I should have known better than that. Yeah, because I was born and raised around casinos. I know not to yell at the help. But I got buzzed and started yelling at the dealer there. And Dave Mosegan comes over from the Commerce Casino and goes, "Hey, Bubba, let's step outside and have a cigarette. What's going on with you?" I'm like, sorry. I got a little out of control. Let's talk to a Scott in Pasadena. You're on 97.1 FM Talk. How are you?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
All right, man.
I was calling about the two-drink minimum for soldiers over in Iraq.
Right.
I just got home from my fourth tour with the Marine Corps.
Wow.
And I was actually lucky because I was actually stationed with a unit from Australia. And with them, it was the fact that they'd get beer with their MREs.
Really?
Yeah, so we ended up becoming good friends with these guys. My unit, we do explosive ordnance disposal, so we're the crazy guys that walk up to the roadside bomb.
Oh, Jesus.
Because, yeah, no one was really thinking when we signed up for this job, as we all say, we were drunk when we signed up for it.
Hey, when did you get back just recently?
I just got back 4 months ago.
You got kids?
No kids. Right. Got a good girl. I just got moved out here from Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. My unit got restationed on here at Pendleton.
Right.
And I live up here in Pasadena. Got a good girl up here, just kind of catching my breath, slowing down, and it's just one of those things. But it was funny because, you know, everybody would go up to the bar, you know, and you get your, you know, not the bar, but you get your two beers and whatever. Well,
that's we classic, hooked up with this, man.
Hooked up with this Australian unit, and of course, Foster's beer cans, they're huge. Well, we, you know, our MREs are surprisingly better than what Australia gets, which a lot of us were just like, okay, that's a joke.
Right.
But they'd exchange a few things. We'd get some beer, and it was funny. One night we were all kicking back. We had just got back from a three-day patrol up for 72 hours straight and just drinking some beer, hanging out. Our CO goes, guys, we got to get ready to go. And everybody's just like, oh, no. Everybody's trying to sober up real quick. And
Jesus Christ. I'll bet the guys that served with you from Australia – always tried to keep up with you guys because, you know, around the world, the U.S. is the creme de la creme when it comes to, you know, the Marines and the armed services.
Well,
and,
it,
these guys probably, felt like they were under a lot of pressure to keep up with you.
Well, a lot of it wasn't so much the pressure because everybody was over there for one reason. I mean, everybody has that fear, especially, I mean, you're looking at with what the world is going on now. I mean, I've been in for 10 years. I just reenlisted for another 10.
Wow. By the way, how are we doing over there? You've come back recently. What's it like over there?
You know, over there, it's actually slowed down a lot in Iraq. I've never spent any time in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is blowing up right now because there's so many restrictions about having to go into Pakistan. That's where a lot of this stuff is coming out of.
Right.
You know, and at that point, it's just, you know, we have that border that we can't really cross, yet we're looking at the enemy right across the way.
And you can see him.
We can see him, and it's just, you know, right there. I know I have a couple buddies in the Army because pretty much the way it goes is that the Army handles Afghanistan, the Marine Corps handles Iraq. Right. And, you know, right now we're just waiting for it to blow up because of what Israel is doing on the Gaza Strip. That whole area is going to blow up, and people don't realize out here in California, Los Angeles, we are eventually going to feel the repercussions. I mean, we've got a new president coming in,
right,
and there could be that terrorist group that wants to make a point saying, hey, guess what? We are here.
Now, when you go back, and when do you go back? You go back in April?
Actually, I've got a great deal. I've actually maxed out on tours. The Marine Corps is going to pick up my law school. I'm a graduate of University of Hawaii, and they're going to pick up my law school so I can finish off my 10 years in the JAG Corps.
Wow.
So Jesus, to be a military good deal. Lawyer.
Well, yeah. but are you excited to go back to Iraq, or are you sort of hesitant and a little bit trepidatious about going back?
You know, with my whole family's military, I was raised with it. You sign up knowing what you're getting into.
Right.
You know, a lot of these guys who come in, they serve, they do a great job, but they turn out, they look at themselves in the mirror, turn out this really isn't what they want. So they get out. And a lot of us, I mean, this is all we know. It's a good life. Yeah, you don't know if you're going to come home in a box or not, but it's the price that you understand when you're going over there. And, you know, with me, I bleed red, white, and blue. I'm originally from Tennessee, so I have those deep southern roots.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I love California because I can honestly say, you know, there's such a diversity of people that have their own opinion.
Absolutely.
Out here.
Yeah.
You know, and coming from the South, born and raised, and, you know, it's always, you know, the president is always right. We're out here. It's just, you know, yeah. It's that First Amendment right. You know, we
yeah, out here, it's F the president.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know if you've noticed out here, Scotty, but it is very honorable to ask for one man to ask for another man's hand, and a complete disgrace to vote for a war veteran for president.
Fantastic.
You know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, for me, it's the fact of, you know, yeah, he's my commander in chief. He tells me where to go. I salute, say yes, sir, and I mumble on my way out. But it's, you know, this state is amazing. I mean,
by the way, real quickly, I could talk to you guys forever because you guys are absolutely my heroes. But when you walk around, what kind of guns are you carrying on you?
Well, it depends. Like for me, with what I do with explosive ordnance disposal, I'm carrying, you know, standard issue M16, but my past two tours, I've been carrying an M4 assault rifle, which is just a chop down version. You can carry more ammo. It's a little lighter weight. And
how much ammo are you carrying for the M16?
M16, we're carrying between probably about 200, 300 rounds, and that goes by if you're in a major firefight, which is what I was in Fallujah. You know, that goes within 3 minutes.
And is there still some kick off that?
There's a lot of kick off it, but the one thing over there is that you have a lot of these Islamic extremists who are high off of cot, which is like cocaine, speed, and, you know, Red Bull mixed together.
Right.
So instead of like one bullet out of an M4 would stop you or me, but for them, you're doing a 3-round burst and they're still coming at you.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a trip over there, and I heard you talking to the one gentleman before from Vietnam if he's gotten help, which, you know, for me, I was man enough to sit there and say, you know what, I need help, I need to go talk to somebody who's doesn't have a biased opinion to it, who's just going to listen to me talk, and it's one of the best things for all soldiers, all military branches to do, because, you know, this is, I mean, I'm 28 years old, but you have 22, even 19-year-old kids who were in high school last year, to where they had to grow up.
Hey,
really,
Scott,
really fast.
Do you play poker?
I play poker. I'm already signed up with you boys.
Well, you got to take it, buddy.
Yeah.
There's no way we can let you know. You just sign up, man. You kicked ass and really served this country. And I can't thank you enough for that. We're looking forward to meeting you down there next Thursday. Please come up and say hello. We'd like to put you on the air.
Yeah, cool deal. Excellent.
All right. Hold on 1 second. Gina will probably try and hit on you. Sam Phillips is coming up next with the Learjet. Chris Leary. Look at that. Is it Chris Leary tonight? Is that him? Oh, that's his thumb. I can only see his big thumb. It's like three quarters erect. I hope that's hope he can take a pill for that. I wonder if the station sells a pill to make your thumb more erect. Is that possible? Sell everything else. It's the erection station. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Sam Phillips and Chris Leary coming up next. I'll see you on KFWB tomorrow at 5 p.m., so listen to that show. Yes! And we are the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 FM Talk.
You know, I can't tell you all the time where I've had that conversation with a guy where I've been like, dude, you're wasted. You don't know what you're saying. You're in that dude's grill. That guy's a mixed martial artist. You're effing with his girlfriend. You need to back off and sit here. Just sit. I'm just telling you, just sit on this love seat. I'm grabbing the keys in my coat. I'll be back in 10 seconds. We're getting out of here before I get you killed.
Right.
Just sit there. And then you leave. You come back 10 seconds later and in the guy's grill again. And you're like, really? No part of that conversation. No part of that conversation. You understood? I know you're drunk. I'm drunk too. I know you're drunk. Do you not know? Did you forget what you were doing over the past 5.5 hours? Just drinking excessively? Like, if I woke up drunk, I would be confused.
Right.
But I've been holding a beer for the last 7 hours. I know what I'm doing. I'm drunk. I'm aware of that. Right. It's weird when you get drunk, you don't know you're drunk.
97.1 FM Talk.
Get complete shows from Adam Carolla, Frosty, Heidi and Frank, Danny Bonaducci, Tom Likas, and more. Just go to 97.1FMTalk.com and subscribe with iTunes.